Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy Tuesday! Happy Tuesday to you. Let me adjust myself real quick. Happy Tuesday to you, and welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TBN Radio. It is great to be back with you for another power-up session as we get energized and powered up for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set for ourselves. So we take a look at the calendar, and this is already the first week of April, this being April 4th, 2023. So yes, we are in the first week of April. I hope that the first quarter of the year has been fantastic for you. You have been able to begin on that important life goal that you have set out for yourself. You are remaining consistent, because that is what we are here for. Every Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, we are here to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves, and just to remind ourselves to find a way to remain consistent with those life goals. So it is great that you're joining me here for another episode of Untapped Potential. I look forward every week to spending this time with you as we get energized and powered up for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of what we need to do to be consistent with our life goals. As always, we have a great interview for you. We always, during the program, have a great interview. We enjoy some wonderful music. We have a tip of the week, and then we talk about what is going on with Push Past 10, Untapped Potential, and Roots Connections, which are the programs that I have created in order to help to move Dominica, the Caribbean region, and our people in general to move us forward to the next level, to help us to grow, to help us to evolve along the journey of life. So thank you. Thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. If this is your first time joining us, then we are certainly happy to have you on board. Set your reminder to join us every Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time for our power-up session. And if you're a loyal listener and you're like me and you cannot wait for Tuesday to come so we can have another episode of Untapped Potential, then I want to thank you for being a loyal supporter of the program. And we always like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? I always remind us that if you cannot find anything to be grateful for today, remember that you woke up this morning. So we have to be grateful for life. We have to be grateful for the energy to wake and face another day. Recently, I lost an uncle Andrew Senhouse out there in Antigua, and we say condolences to his wife and his children, Omer, Arthur, and Carol, who lost their dad. He made it to the ripe old age of 93. So we are certainly happy that he was able to live a very long and productive life. And, you know, I know his family was grateful for that, because his brother, my dad, only lived to about 57. So he got quite a few more years on my dad. So we were grateful for his life and for everything he was able to accomplish during his lifetime. So again, condolences to my family out there in Antigua, the Senhouse family, on the loss of Uncle Andrew. And we are grateful for the life that he lived and the children, the legacy that he created out of his life. So again, we're also grateful we got our taxes done. So I'm grateful for that. Yes, you know, the taxes always weigh on my mind from the beginning of the year. So I'm always grateful when it is finally done. And if you're in the U.S. and keep in mind that, let's look at the calendar, April 15th is next Saturday. So you only have about a week and a half to get those taxes done, because you do not want Uncle Sam to come looking for you for those taxes. So just a friendly reminder to get your taxes done by April 15th next Saturday, in order to avoid any tax penalties. So again, welcome to the program. Today, our interview is going to be a throwback. So we did an interview, a Facebook Live interview, with none other than Mr. Matthias Matt Peltier, who is the number one radio personality from the number one radio station in Dominica, Q95 FM. And of course, I'm going to say it's the number one radio station because that is where I have my other radio show, Roots Connections, on Q95. So we had an interview that we did with him back in May of 2021, and I never got a chance to feature it here on Untapped Potential, so I thought I would bring it to you today. So again, the interview is from May 8th, I believe, right before I started Roots Connections on Q. The interview is from May 8th of 2021, and I think you will find much appreciation, because many of us listen to Matt during the weekdays. He's on in the morning as well as from 1 p.m. in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, on Q95 FM radio in Dominica. So it was just a great opportunity to get to know him a little bit better, find out why he went into journalism, and just get into his mind in terms of, you know, where journalism is going and all that great stuff. So what I thought today is I would bring you the entire interview, most of the interview with Matt Peltier. So I think this week we will not have a tip of the week. Instead of having a tip of the week, we will just take a listen to the entire interview, because I think you'll find that Matt's life is very fascinating, how he was able to get into journalism and everything that he has been through during his career. So I'm going to have you listen to that interview, and then don't forget to stay tuned to after the program to find how we are continuing to build our networks. We are continuing to create those collaborations, have some tools in our toolkit to help to move Dominica, the Caribbean, and our people in general, to move us forward, to elevate us as we continue to grow and evolve. So as we always do, let us enjoy this number from Etana. I always get her name wrong. Let us enjoy this number from Etana, a song called I Rise, as we begin the program, and then stay tuned for our pre-recorded interview with Mr. Matt Peltier from May of 2021. So if anything sounds a little bit outdated, I just want to let you know that it's because the interview was conducted in May of 2021, but I think you will still enjoy it. You'll still find great value in the interview that we did with Matt Peltier. So again, let us enjoy this one from Etana, and then stay tuned for the rest of the program.
Morning.
who are joining us here on the Facebook Live and who will eventually hear the program on TDN Radio for Untapped Potential for being here with us today. So we know that you host two very incredibly popular programs in Dominica, The Hot Seat and Talk on the Block. But before we talk about those programs, kind of just introduce yourself to us and tell us how you became interested in broadcasting.
Well, it started when I was about 17 years old. That's many, many years ago. And by coincidence, really, I was reading in church. And a priest came up to me because they were thinking of opening a radio station called the Voice of the Islands Radio. He was a missionary priest, Father Conard at the time, maybe way back in 1987, 1988. And he heard my voice. After I read a passage in scripture that Sunday, and he came up to me and he said, "Young man, what do you want to be? I'm starting a radio station and I heard your voice, which seemed very interesting. I would like you to join me or come in for an interview." It was that simple. And then the radio station was born. I was one of the first persons who worked at that radio station, the Voice of the Islands, at Point Michelle. And that's where it started. We began doing a children's program at the time on a Sunday afternoon from about 2 o'clock to 4 to 6 sometimes. And then the likes of Ken Richards, who is now a former producer of the BBC and Ferdinand Frampton, very known personality in Dominica. So do these two people, Ferdinand Frampton and Ken Richards, were very instrumental in terms of my early training in radio. So I started doing news. I started doing a children's program. Then I started doing programming and news. So my mentor in news was Mr. Ken Richards at the time. And then in programming was Mr. Ferdinand Frampton. So I started doing a oldies program on a Sunday afternoon. And then from that, I worked there for about 2-3 years, my early days. And I moved to Boston and did radio broadcasting. Early days, though, before radio broadcasting, in terms of school, I wanted to do some, you know, youth work. So early days, at that time, I said, you know, I want to get into youth work. But about 1 year into doing youth work and starting youth, I missed radio for some reason because I was already in it for about 3 years. And then the opportunity came up. There was the Northeast Broadcasting School that offered radio and television, and I did that. I came back in 1993. I went back to Voice of the Islands Radio. At that time, Mr. Ken Richards was leaving for the BBC, for DBS first. He had to be news editor of DBS for time. They gave him that offer. And then he said, "Matt, I have an opening right now. And I know you just left school. Would you want to come back to Dominica to take on my position?" And that's where it started. Then I became the news editor and program director of Voice of the Islands Radio. That journey lasted about 2 years because the radio station closed after this. Mm-hmm. Then I went to do my own thing, freelance journalism at the time with the Caribbean News Agency and also Radio Antilles at the time. I was a correspondent in Dominica. There was also an opening there at the time too for the Voice of America. I was a correspondent in Dominica for the Voice of America for a few years as well. So Radio Antilles, Voice of the Islands, Caribbean News Agency, all of these positions to Radio Antilles and Cana was also occupied by Ken before I came in. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for a while. And then the radio station closed down. So I was freelancing for about 2 years. About 2 years I was freelancing. And then an opportunity came up at Maupin News. There was an opening for the news director of Maupin. That was 1995-96. So I stayed at Maupin as the news director for about 3-4 years. And from Maupin, I went to Voice. That was Kyrie FM. Mr. Frankie Crazy Dubellot, believe it or not, at that time, you know, he seemed like somebody that you needed to follow. He was about democracy and, you know, leading the way. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to, the offer came up and he said, Matt, I can give you the opportunity to work with Kyrie for a while. And I started working with Kyrie for a while. That was 1996 to 19. That was after Maupin. I went to Kyrie. So Maupin was 95, 96 to 99. And from that, from 1999 to 2001, I was at Kyrie for a few years, yes. And then I broke up from Kyrie because it was beginning to get very political, and I'm a very independent kind of person. Mm-hmm. I don't like to interfere with the way I do news or programming or current affairs program. So I moved away from that because it was becoming very political. And I decided to start my own newspaper with a group of guys who were thinking the same thing. So I opened the Time newspaper. It became very popular very quickly. And then I moved away from that because at that time, the paper closed down after the prime minister at the time, Mr. Roosevelt Skerrit. It was the first time I think he took somebody to court, and that was me. Mm. So, yes, it was at that time I wrote the story, the very famous story that will live on forever. $5,000 salary, $1 million asset. So that happened in 2007. And from there, Mr. Sheridan Gregoire at the time said, Matt, I really want to give you an offer to work with my radio station, which is Q95. So that was in 2007. So I said, you know what? Let me see what will happen, because I love being independent. Mm-hmm. After I went back with Maupin and being the political correspondent at the time, because I love political news. And then from there, I stayed with Q. I didn't know the journey would have lasted that long. I never knew it would last that long, because I started in February in 2007 until this day. Mm-hmm. So we stayed there for a little while, and the program became very, very popular, which was the hot seat at the time. So I did it from 7 a.m. to 10. After a couple of years, the program became so very interesting that people became wanting more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They said, Matt, well, I think it was Digicel or Flo did not want to continue for a little while, I think after some hurricane or some storm. And the opening there between 1 and 3 became very available. Mm-hmm. And so I started to talk on the block. And I started to talk on the block maybe 2017. But
it's only 2017 that talk on the block? I thought it was older than that. Okay.
Yeah, it was just about 2017.
Okay.
And that's where it started, 2017 mm-hmm. to 2020 at this time. So the hot seat is much older than the talk on the block. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A fresh idea, because people want to talk and they wanted to talk, yes, and express themselves. So mm-hmm. I felt I had the skill to engage and, you know, talk current issues mm-hmm. because of my experience in news. But I just love news. I love mm-hmm. you know, producing news and producing features and documentaries, and that's mm-hmm. how I started. So people became very interested, and in a couple of years, I think in the first 2-3 years, the hot seat was clearly the most popular program. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I still think it is. Although some people prefer to talk on the block now because it seems a little more current, because what happens is I go on the street after I do the hot seat and I find out on the ground what is going on. And
oh, that's what you do.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, people want current issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we engage and we, you know, I love giving people the opportunity to speak about what they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen over the years, I mean, news and have changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People are just making things more, you know, as a matter of fact, Tony Astafan, I would say that Tony Astafan and I were very, very close friends. Very close friends. But since I became, I wrote that story on the $5,000 asset and the $5,000 salary and $1 million assets. Mm-hmm. He became my enemy.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about being impartial in broadcasting and all that. But again, I want to acknowledge everyone who's joining us on the Facebook Live. We have quite a bit of people who have already joined us, and we want to thank them for being here with us this evening. And I also want to thank your sister, Allison Peltier, for putting this together, for making sure that we were able to connect. So before we talk about your experiences at Q95, just tell us some of the more memorable experiences you had before you got to Q95. So does anything stand out in your mind with your previous experiences at different media houses, maybe when you had your own newspaper? Anything stands out for you?
Well, I remember very early, because I did a lot of training with regional news agencies. As I said, the Caribbean News Agency, the Radio Antilles. Mm-hmm. People don't remember those things, but that started my journey. I actually spent some time with CNN.
You did?
Yeah.
What year?
1996. I spent a couple of weeks there at CNN Cable News Network.
Okay.
We did something on international reporting and news. So a few of us from around the world, as far as Turkey and India and Pakistan. They had a program called World Report.
I remember that. Yeah.
Right. So they pulled a few of us from around the world to get involved in trying to produce that program there. And so I stayed there maybe 2 or 3 months, did some training there. I actually did some training with Oxford Environmental, the Oxford University in London, where we did environmental news.
Mm-hmm.
So the journey has been a very, very long one. I mean, it just seemed like yesterday, but it has been a very, very long one.
Yeah, and we're so grateful for all the service you've provided to Dominica in that time. So now let's talk about your particular programs, because the hot seat, you said, came first. And just kind of tell us, what was the basic premise of the hot seat when you first began that program?
Well, it came from the idea that I did another talk show on the Maupin television. We did a television program, which we called Under Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I got inspired from that. And Ken Richards had left the BBC for about 2 years, came back while I was a news editor at Maupin and produced a program called Under Fire. We had pieces like Eugenia Charles. We had some good guests at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was lacking. Something was lacking. Current Affairs production was lacking in Dominica at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I left Kyrie, a few years after I left Kyrie, because I used to do the, I don't know if you call it, you know, the Hang?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
so that's where I started talk, from the Hang.
Mm-hmm.
And it became quickly popular. So I realized Dominicans just love to engage and talk about the current day issues. So when I left Kyrie, I went into my newspaper, and it was missing. People were meeting me in the streets and saying, Matt, when are you coming back to radio?
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with the Times newspaper as the editor, the managing editor there. And I was harassed on the street because people were missing their hand.
On the radio.
Right. A few people, like Kamala John Baptist, took over at the time. But I was still getting the harassment on the radio, you know? Matt, come back to radio. We need you in radio. We need you in radio. So come back to radio. So as soon as when Sheridan Gregoire at the time you know, said, Matt, we really need you on the radio. So please, we want to make you offer, come and see what you can do. And then that's it. My journey just began there, you know. People in Dominica love current affairs issues. It doesn't really matter if it's politics, if they want to talk about love, if they want to talk about anything else, you know, religion. I don't like talking religion too much, but people love talking religion. So you'll find the controversies, you know, it might be gay, homosexuality. It's everything they want to talk about. So you give them a chance to exhale. Some people don't like it, but that's what it is.
Absolutely, because people sometimes just need to vent. And, you know, you said something I thought was so interesting, that after talk on the hot seat in the morning, you actually go out into the street to find out what is going on. So is that how you come back at 1 o'clock with talk on the block? You literally go down on the block.
I find out what's on the block and I come back and talk about it. Yeah, that's what it is. You know?
Yeah, that is
that makes it current.
Right. That makes it very popular. And you know, of course, we want to thank everyone again who's joining us on the Facebook Live. Allison has made it, so we're happy that she is here with us. But just kind of tell us some of the challenges that you faced along the way, Matt, because as you know, this program is all about inspiring those who are interested in particular fields. And we just want to make sure that we don't only present the rosy aspects of it and how you were able to grow in the field, but what would you say have been some of your challenges over the years?
Well, I have to be very honest. I've been very privileged. I've never had to, like, you know, the younger people in journalism and in reporting, I've never really had to apply for a job.
Wow.
I never really had to apply for
Good
a job.
For
As I
Good
said, it started in church.
Yes.
That's where my journey began, yeah.
Yes.
Because I was just reading a scripture in the Bible one Sunday, and the priest approached me.
That's amazing.
And I have never really sat down and, you know, had to apply for a job, because it almost seemed like it always flowed. You know, and people always offered me these opportunities. And I want to be thankful and grateful, you know, for all the training I've received over the years. You know, but I wouldn't say challenge. I wouldn't say that I've really had a challenge in broadcasting.
Good for you. I don't think I have. But you know, you also speak to something I speak about a lot as well. Always being fully prepared. Because if not for putting your best foot forward on that Sunday morning, where the priest noticed you, he would not have approached you. It's because you did a good job.
I used to be a full-fledged Catholic. As a matter of fact, I used to be an acolyte. So I was really deep in the Catholic Church for some time, you know? So I don't know. The priest approached me because he thought I had a good voice. Everybody said, but Maury, where did you get your voice? It was just observe. I didn't know I was into that broadcasting kind of flavor, and the priest noticed that. He said, you know, I really want you to work with me, and that's where it started.
Absolutely.
I've been blessed. I want to thank God, my parents and my family, for giving me always an opportunity to, you know, just be open-minded and speak to the issues that I'm concerned about. I've never been blocked in a square. So I always like thinking out loud. As I used to, before entering radio, I was a very active young person in terms of the community and my country. In 1987, when I traveled for the first time, again, another opportunity, I was the youth director of the summer school. And I was the longest service news director from about 12 years. And after 3 years or 4 years after doing this for the youth division, that's what inspired me to get into, I wanted to get into youth work. I went to Kariakou as the lead person for an American Crossroads, meaning I was a mentor in terms of getting American students to come to work in the Caribbean. So from there, I went into, as I said, this broadcast, I was introduced into radio journalism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you may not have personal challenges in media, but I think one of the challenges that I'm hearing you talk about in general is just being able to stay impartial. So what is your view on that? Because, for example, you mentioned leaving a particular job because you felt there was a certain pressure to sway in a particular direction. So let's talk about the importance of remaining impartial in media.
It is important to remain impartial because I started that way. When I started with Ken Richards and Mr. Foote and Frampton, the influence that we have today was not there. Mm-hmm. The political influence, the pressure that now people feel. As a matter of fact, people who have followed my career always know I always try to challenge authority, challenge politics, be it labor, be it freedom, be it the opposition, United Workers Party. Let me share something with you. When I was at Mapping Television as a news director, I was challenged by Eugenia Charles, who felt I was not fair at the time. Mm-hmm. During the reign of the United Workers Party at the time, Edison James felt I was not fair. Mm-hmm. And now the Labour Party feel I'm the greatest enemy. Mm-hmm. So I've had all the challenges, mm-hmm, from the Freedom Party, from the United Workers Party, from the Labour Party. Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm doing the job that I was, trained to do. And I'm doing it well because I have enemies on all sides. People love me.
Right, because you don't sway in one direction.
Because I tried always to maintain the center, mm-hmm, all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have enemies on all sides. I mean, I'm hated because I do my job. Mm-hmm. I do my job. But one of the challenges we have in media, and I can tell you now, is the owners of the radio stations at various levels. We need to get the radio station managers very independent. I can say that Mr. Sheridan Gregoire has maybe done the best, mm-hmm, from all my experiences, but every time you enter a radio station, a television station, people always want to, exert their influence in terms of getting you what to do, what they want you to do. The reason I was given a job, for example, at Mapping TV, when I first got an offer, I said to Mr. Ron Abraham, he can tell you today, I said, Mr. Abraham, I will take your job offer because if you are now, or you somebody exposes you and say you're in drugs, I have to write a story.
That's powerful.
You understand?
Right.
And he said, young man, you have the job.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't... I
that's
don't,
true journalism. I mean,
people think I take sides. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. I don't, take sides for any political party. Right now, the Labour Party will think that I'm the opposition. I'm with the opposition United Workers Party. And you hear that all the time. Oh, Matt is workers. Because the Labour rights don't like what I do. Mm-hmm. But early days when I was with the Kyrie radio station, which is now, their radio station, I was the most loved journalist and the best since sliced cheese. Mm-hmm. But once I turned the chick and wanted to do something else, I did not do what they wanted to hear, they started hating me. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the persons who understand me very well, one of my friends who understand me very well because he has followed my career, is Frederick Barron.
Mm-hmm. I know him well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Frederick is one of my friends who seem to know me very, very well. Mm-hmm. And I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. You hear me on the radio saying, some hate to love me or love to hate
me. Some love to hate me.
That's just, you know, that's where I get it from. I love to hate. Some people love to hate me. Some people hate to love me. Some people just love to love me. Mm-hmm. And I'm who mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I just love doing the people's work. That's what is very important. The people right. is very important in this thing. Very, mm-hmm. very important.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's just so difficult to remain impartial because yes. you're being pulled in so many different directions.
All different directions. All different yeah. directions.
This one wants you to sing their song. That one wants you to sing their song. And of course, you know, you have the mic to the entire world.
Yeah.
So that's a big consideration.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
It's a challenge because everybody wants you to do what they want you to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I feel for them sometimes because they want you to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear.
Right.
Which is not always on their side. Mm-hmm. But that's politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's politics.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other challenge we were talking about, Matt, before we came on is just, yes, we have to speak current events and that catches everyone's attention. But just the thought, the span of time people are able to focus on, it seems like everyone now just wants to hear sound bites. They want sound bites. We lack the ability to concentrate on extended news. So just kind of tell us, how do you see media changing in general?
Well, I will say that as we speak, we have a serious challenge, and I think I spoke to you off mic about it. What I have referred to as community journalism. Everybody wants to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. And every story for them is the right story. But, you know, you have to be first sometimes. You love to be first, but you have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we in Caribbean media, Dominican media, if I was, for example, working for the CNN, I have a full team of researchers. I have a full team of people, you know, bringing me information. But in Dominica, in the Caribbean, we don't have that resource.
Mm-hmm.
We have to almost present everything ourselves. We have no audio specialists. We have no research specialists doing it. Mm-hmm. Everything has to come, because a lot of people, I am challenged sometimes because people say, oh, you don't do research. But how mm-hmm. much time do you have to
right.
do research?
Right.
When you have to present 2-hour programs, 1-hour program every day of your
every
life.
Day, every day.
Mm-hmm. I get it sometimes. People say, oh, you don't do research, but it's a fluid program. It changes constantly. You have to be like on the go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think our media houses have to start producing. I think there's need for research, but I think the media houses need to get on the ball of this and train some young people. So, as for example, if I'm on the radio, I have a few or two people that are doing the research, and they come up with the information on the board.
Right.
We'll have a lot more, but we have a lot of challenges because we don't have trained media people in Dominica. Mm-hmm. I think that's our biggest challenge in media in Dominica. We don't have trained persons in the media. I mean, I can say that, you know, without thinking twice.
Mm-hmm.
The media in Dominica, I mean, sure, they're there because they want a job. But most people in the media in Dominica, and I think it's a challenge for the government, a challenge for civic groups, to provide that kind of media training. Before I left, as a matter of fact, I was talking to one institution who seemed interested in providing that kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is what is lacking in Dominica, the training for media professionals. Because people call themselves reporters, people call themselves journalists, but they don't have the skills.
Yeah, and they don't have the training. And
they're very easily influenced because they feel pressured of a job. I have mm-hmm. never worked in my life for any political party, for any government.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from that independent mindset. So no political party, no prime minister is going to influence me because I know what I'm doing. I've been mm-hmm. trained that way. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow Skerritt or Mr. Lennox Linton or the Freedom Party or anybody to influence me. And they know that. I get vexed with Mr. Lennox Linton sometimes. I get vexed, you know, with Skerritt sometimes, Mr. Skerritt, and I get vexed with the Freedom Party. Everybody get vexed with me. Maybe they vex with me behind the scenes, but some always want me to present a story that may, you know, they may like. If I write stories that they don't like, you know, they may get mad. But that's just who I am. For example, I've had the opportunity to write stories against the opposition. I've had opportunity to write stories against Labour. I've had opportunity to write stories against the Freedom Party. More, I will say, for the Labour Party, but against the Labour Party because they're in government. Mm-hmm. And when the UWP was in government, I wrote a lot of stories, and they hated me for it. But that's just how it is. I remember. Even Edison James, he will tell you that when he entered politics, his press secretary at the time, Mr. Edward Alexander, was always one who would object me in a news conference because he felt I was actually against Edison James. I had the opportunity to where Edison James may have slammed his doors in my face as a reporter. I've had opportunities where, you know, I've been told I'm a spy on the United Workers Party because I followed Mr. Edison James as far as Guyana to do a story there. I've had opportunities against the United Workers Party when they felt at the time that there was some foreign missionaries doing some work, you know, and Thalia Remy was the editor at the time, and I was asked to follow a story as far as the UK on that. So, you know, every political party have their biases, and they want you to do things on their behalf, but you have to remain a lot of the times impartial. Mm-hmm. I remember when I wrote that story Mr. Skerritt, I felt at the time every Caribbean journalist was against me.
Really? Why is that?
Because they felt I was putting Mr. Skerritt under unnecessary pressure.
So should you have sat on the story
I should have sat on the story and sat down and do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And I went to court and he took me to court. I think his lawyers, Tony Astafan and whatever his name was, challenged me on the first opportunity. But I decided I was going to write the story. Mm-hmm. The story, a few sessions later, maybe two, 3 years later, Mr. Skerritt decided that he was dropping the story.
The charges.
Not interested anymore. Mm-hmm. And everybody was still asking the question, did you settle in Mr. Skerritt in terms of, were you paid? Because we never heard about the story. We went to court. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened? It was a simple matter where Mr. Skerritt felt at the time, and I'll be very honest. He said, you wrote the story in the public's interest.
Isn't that what journalism is about, writing in the public's interest?
But also, too, it could be said that he felt at the time, the reason he took me to court because I did not give him his face share of the story. So I ended up giving him his side. And that's basically how we settled it. He said, well, Matt, you know, I know you wrote the story in the public interest, but you never got my side. I'll be fair. I never really got his side. I never get it on the record.
Right.
And we settled the issue there. But there was no payment of any settlement of money or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want the court records, they're there. You pay $5 stamp and you can do your own research if you don't believe me. Mm-hmm. Go in the court, get $5, and you will see the results of the arbitration there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you for sharing that with us. And of course, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Q95's number one radio personality, Mr. Matthias Max Peltier, and he's just kind of walking us through his journey in broadcasting and walking us through some of the experiences that he has been through just trying to remain impartial in the field. So Matt, again, thank you for being here and thank you for having this conversation with us. And we just want to let everyone who's joining us on the Facebook Live, we want to let you know that we will be taking your questions in a little bit, but for now we are going to continue the conversation. So now Matt, in terms of characteristics for being in radio, I think we all know that one of them is absolutely patience.
Oh yes.
And another one is a lot of respect for your callers, for the people that you work with, for the people that you're covering. But can you tell us some of the other characteristics you think have led you to be successful in media?
Yes, I think patience is very key. You mentioned that.
Yes.
Patience. You can't do radio if you don't have patience.
Absolutely.
They say you have to have patience like the hospital, but you need to have a lot of patience.
Right.
A lot of patience. Mm-hmm. You have to also respect your guests.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many people who would call you and say, well, ask the person a question, you know? But you don't, I have always learned very early in journalism that you never put your guests and make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to respect your guests. Doesn't really matter how many questions come up and you feel somebody's going to embarrass your guests. You have to try to avoid it sometimes. Mm-hmm. You have to be diplomatic because you want the questions answered, but you have to protect your guests most of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Protect your guests most of the times. Because you come on the hot seat, but you expect hard questions, but you don't want embarrassing questions. Mm-hmm. Because once you put your guests in that corner, it's like a dog. You corner a dog,
mm-hmm.
and you get the worst. The reaction
and then if I'm a potential guest listening to you berate this person, I'm not going to come on your program.
Yeah.
Period.
Although a lot of people tell you I will stay away from Matt's program because they feel that I'm going to ask them some hard questions and embarrassing questions. But I don't go down that road. I always try to respect my guests. I will ask you very hard questions. You might feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I try to respect you most of the times.
Mm-hmm.
If you as a guest want to be disrespectful, then that's a different lift.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to protect you the most that I can. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the reasons that this Mr. Skerritt, I've been asking him since 2009 to come on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. He has refused. Because most people, most of his supporters, most of his maybe lawyers or political friends will tell him stay away from the program because they feel I'm going to embarrass him. But I will never try to embarrass the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect the office. You might not like the person, but you have to respect the office. I will never put him in that. And he has asked me on many occasions since he started his Anupali program to come.
Oh, he's
so,
asked you to come on his program?
Oh, yes. On a few
Interesting.
Occasions. He has asked a few of his close allies to try to talk to me about coming on his program. But I said, I've responded by saying, Mr. Skerritt, I mean, all due respect to you, I've been asking you for 10 years
right.
to come on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
On maybe two or three occasions, he has promised. I have had recordings of him saying, yeah, man, I'll come on the program. He's never shown up. As a matter of fact, one time I thought he was really coming and I scheduled him that morning and a couple of minutes before he said, I saw his security and his secretary kept coming up my steps. So I said, well, where's the prime minister? The prime minister suddenly can't make it.
Well, his security and his secretary were coming up the steps without him?
To Q95, then the prime minister couldn't make it. I said, really? I mean, he has given me interviews on the telephone, like mm-hmm. when there is a storm or when there is some disaster taking place in the country. But just And he's been graceful and say, well, yeah, I can talk to you now, but never on any political program, never on any program he felt that I would embarrass him. He has never been. And that was never my intention to embarrass the Prime Minister, because I want him to, I want to give him the opportunity to, you know, interact with the public. Because I have most, I will say, I can boast and say I have the most listeners.
I would agree.
I think he would get an opportunity to speak. And I think most of my listeners, they won't admit it, are the laborers themselves. You know? But I think I can give him the opportunity anytime. He said, it's an open door policy with the Prime Minister. If you want to come, feel free to come. I've invited many, many guests over the years. And, you know, I've spoken to many prime ministers over the Caribbean. I missed that point in my journey in terms of journalism in 2000 when Ruzi became prime minister. He actually, I think because of an interview I did during the election campaign, one interview, he felt at the time changed the political campaign in his favor.
Interesting.
Many people don't know that. But I think as a result of that interview, when he became the prime minister, he said, Matt, I want to be a very transparent prime minister. And he said, I will be traveling on a few occasions to overseas countries. And I want you there on every trip that I make.
Interesting.
Because I want you to report back to the country as to what I was doing. I just want to be very transparent.
Wow.
And I want you there with me. So he asked, it was myself, Mr. Felix Augustine at the time, or the
GIS. Yes, Felix talks about that a lot. Yes, I remember that.
Carlisle John Baptist at the time, freelance. I voted John Baptist. So I think were the most, the reporters that traveled with Rosie. But I think I traveled with him the most. I went to a few countries with him. I went to the States a couple of times. I went to Canada. His first trip to Canada, I was there. I went to Libya with him. I went to Malta. I went to a few countries. Yeah, so I've been around Grenada. He went back there for the first time. And a few of his regional trips I took with him. The first time he went to Martinique. And Martinique, I was there as well. So a few countries went during the 8 months of his reign.
But
he wanted me there because he wanted me to report of how transparent he wanted to be with the Dominican people.
Right. And now let's go back to being impartial. Now, was there any pressure on you because you were given the opportunity to travel with him? Did you feel any pressure to report in his favor, or did you were you bent on being impartial and simply reporting what you saw, what you heard?
No, I didn't feel any pressure because Ruzi was a very open person.
Good.
I think Ruzi was the best. I'm not gonna mix with that. Ruzi was the best, was the journalist's best friend. Every journalist wanted to have an interview with Ruzi because he hid nothing. He wanted the world to know who he was.
Right.
Remember, he was referred to as a communist for many for many, many years. He was under that pressure.
Yes.
So you felt that, you know, traveling with us would make him very transparent.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK, and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Good.
Again, you've just been listening to a pre-recorded interview we did with Mr. Matthias Matt Peltier Jr. from Q95 Radio in Dominica, and I hope that you found great information in terms of Matt being on Untapped Potential on Facebook with us and telling us about all his challenges and the opportunities he has received in journalism. Because I think we can all agree that journalism is such an important part of our lives, and there is so much more to be done with regards to training our journalists in Dominica. So again, I hope you found the information of value and you enjoyed the interview we did with Matt Peltier. So keep in mind, this was most of the interview, but as I always do, it is the featured interview on pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com, which is sort of our repository. So on pushpast10, we try to include all the past podcasts of Untapped Potential. So if you go on pushpast10, you'll be able to check out the past episodes of the program, and you will always also see the videos from our YouTube channel as well. So you will be able to access the link to our YouTube channel for even more of our content. So again, thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. I always look forward to spending this time with you every Tuesday. So don't forget, set your reminder to join us next Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves and how can we remain consistent with those life goals. So what are you planning on doing this week to move that goal forward? Do you have your to-do list? Have you made those calls? Have you sent that email? Have you reached out to that person you know will be able to help you with that personal goal? So whether it is losing weight and you need to get in touch with a personal trainer, or you're looking to go back to school and you need to get in touch with your college to maybe get your last transcript from the courses that you've already taken, this is where we stop by every week to remind ourselves of those important life goals and how we can remain consistent with those goals. So again, thank you for joining me. I hope you will join me next week. Or if you missed any episode, I hope you will jump on pushpast10.com and check out all the past episodes of the program. And so we continue our collaborations, we continue to build our networks, and we continue to add to our toolkit as we continue to work to move Dominica, the Caribbean region, and just our people in general forward. So I hope that you will join me next week, same time, same place, as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead. So as we always say in parting, don't forget, your life story is your strength. Remember to tap into your potential every week. Remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay engaged, stay active until we meet again next week at the same time. You have yourself a productive